We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr, touchdown, yes! Detroit Lions. TJ Hockenson, yes! They did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to a long-awaited Wednesday night edition of Twitter Spaces. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my main guy, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. Nope, here with us today. But Malcolm, how you doing, man? It's been a while. How you doing, man?
Yerp. What's going on, man? I'm doing good, bro. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, dude. And I guess let's just catch down to the rundown. If you guys are really listening to this and you guys are not listening live and probably wondering, what's going on? Why haven't we really been recording the last kind of couple weeks? And I guess the simple answer is that there just really hasn't, you know, been much to talk about. Like, I've gotten a DM, I've gotten tweeted at saying, is the pod even still a thing anymore? And like, when I saw that, you know, saw those messages, I'm like, damn, like, it has been a while. And people are starting to notice it's been a while now. And, you know, I'm not going to BS and act like something's in the way that we couldn't have been doing this. I mean, we could have been doing it. But to be fairly honest with you, I think we all had a conversation between the three of us, me, Pierre, and Malcolm, and we're like, there just hasn't been that interest right now of football with it being so dead right now. There just hasn't been that itch, that interest of wanting to talk about the Lions right now. And that's just the hard truth right now and why we haven't really been recording.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all needed this little break. This little time to just, because I, you know, next month, man, we're going to be really, really, really busy with this pod. We, you know, you're talking about the Hard Knocks. We're going to be recording before and after, and we're going to have our regular week shows, talk about training camp. I mean, it's going to be a lot going on next month. So I think having this week, 2 week, 3 week mental break, I think is very much needed, especially in time like this when there's not really much to talk about. So yeah, man, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And not even just next month. Obviously, next month is going to be hectic in a good way because, yeah, you got Hard Knocks coming to Detroit. You got training camp moving around. And that itch of football is definitely going to come back. Like, I know some people don't lose that itch of football. I'm not going to lie. After the draft, for me, it kind of fades away a little bit where I'm like, I need a couple months off football. Like, I just don't even want to, like, really even talk about it, honestly. And I don't even want to really see stuff about it. And that's just kind of how I am right now. And I'm slowly getting phased back into it, just like what Malcolm said with training camp coming right around the corner. We got the regular season just right around the corner. And, you know, I think this Lions season in particular, we've talked about it a lot. There is a lot to look forward to this season because it is a very, very interesting season as far as what to expect this year. No, you're probably not expecting to win an NFC North. You're probably not expecting to make the playoffs this year. But you are expecting to see, hopefully, footsteps towards the right direction and winning more football games and hopefully building a very good football team and overall long haul of this team. And I think we've talked about some of the offseason moves that the Lions have done that we really like, and they're just really following the whole plan of a rebuild right now. And yeah, so, you know, we decided to come on today, even though, again, there's not really much to talk about. Like current, there's nothing really new or updated, but you know, if we could talk some Lions football, getting excited for the training camp, getting excited for the regular season, we're down to do that for sure. But I want to talk about something that I saw that was really interesting over the past week when we were in our little football hiatus, but I did end up catching this, and I don't know if you saw this, Malcolm. So I was looking through, or someone tweeted it, and I was kind of caught off guard because you just would never assume this, but I was looking at the most paid offenses in the NFL. Do you know who the most paid offense in the NFL is? Like, just the whole overall unit is?
I take a guess. Let's see. Most paid offense?
Like, they just invested the most money into this unit.
I would probably say... Damn, the Cowboys, maybe? Cowboys?
That's a good guess. It's the Detroit Lions.
Wait a minute. wait a minute. It's
the Detroit Lions.
How?
You really look at it. I mean, they do pay their offensive line. I mean, they have Decker under contract. They have Frank Ragnow under contract. Jared Goff makes a pretty penny right now. It's the Detroit Lions. The whole entire NFL, the Lions pay the most towards their offensive unit. Yeah, the Lions pay the most towards their offensive.
And this is a fact. This is true.
100%. This is a fact.
Wow. And what is your thoughts on this? this shocked the hell out of me.
I was shocked when I first saw it too, because I didn't even really like put two and two together. I'm like, how is this the most paid offensive unit? And then like you kind of break it down. I mean, they pay their offensive line. They pay their quarterback right now. And, you know, a lot of these contracts are not really long-term outside of the offensive line, which I think is completely fine because you want those guys long run anyways. But you look at this offensive unit, and I'm kind of like thinking, I'm like, okay, we invest the most money towards this offense. What is like the overall ceiling of this offense? And it had me thinking, I've said this on air. I said it towards the draft. And when there was like the Deebo Samuel rumors, I said, like, I think if you get one more guy into this offense, I think this offense could be really, really good. And obviously get a quarterback that I really like. And Goff is not that guy, unfortunately. But it had me thinking, like, what is the ceiling of this offense? And I think it could be a really good offense. I really do think it could be a good offense with what we saw towards the end of the season, with Dan Campbell getting a lot more adjusted to play calling once Ben Johnson helped him towards the last five games of the season. And now you're really adding a whole offseason with that, adding essentially the same exact team that you had last year, at least offensively, adding DJ Shark, who is a good proven receiver. He was injured, but when playing, has been very solid. And you added arguably the best rookie wide receiver in the draft. And you might not see him necessarily week one, but you hopefully plan to see him at some point during the season. I think as latest as probably week 7, week 8, that's probably the latest we'll see Jameson Williams. And other than that, you brought back the whole unit. And I know overall the offense was very stinky throughout the whole season, but singling in all those last five games where Ben Johnson was helping more in the offensive play calling and Dan Campbell gets a whole nother year a crack at this offense. It had me thinking, like, what is the ceiling of this offense? And what do you think it is, Malcolm?
I've been saying this all along, man. I think this offense could be really good unless, you know, Jared Goff stinks it up. I mean, I think it's really on his shoulder because everything is there. I know everybody talked about, you know, Jared Goff is a very average quarterback and he has to have everything built around him. Well, guess what? You even just said it. We are the highest paid offense in the NFL. So everything is built for it. Everything is there. Like, he has a tight end. He has two receivers. He had three receivers. He has two good, capable running backs. He has an offensive line. What else do you need? What else do you need to have success in the NFL? So it's really on Jared Goff's shoulders. I mean, Jared Goff, it depends how he plays. I mean, if we see the first – I mean, If we see the last 5 weeks of Jared Goff and he plays like that throughout the whole season this year, we could have a, you know, a very, I would say a very unexpected season because nobody's really given us much expectations.
Yeah.
But I think we'll definitely overachieve if Jared Goff plays at that level the entire season. So yeah, man. I mean, when you told me that information about us having the highest paid offense, I'm just like, does the expectation change knowing that we are the highest paid offense in the NFL?
I think it does. Like, I think it really, like, I knew there was obviously a hot seat on Jared Goff this season. Like, he has to, it's make or break. There's really nowhere around it, no way around it with Jared Goff. It's like he either has to be the guy or he's not going to be the guy. And I think we're going to get that question answered by the end of the season. But I do think it could be a complicated question around the fan base towards the end of the season. Like I just feel like we kind of know what Jared Goff is going to be, but I could see it being a complicated question because, like you said, they have the pieces around it, and I just in no world see Goff having any point where he was last year in that beginning of the year. Like, you know, what we saw last year in the beginning of the year with Jared Goff, I cannot see that happening at all at any point during the season. I just can't see it happening with this team. I think we're more prone to see what we saw towards the last 5 weeks of the season more than what we saw in the beginning points of the season. But I'm going to mix in with that. I don't think you'll also see as a consistent what we saw those last 5 weeks throughout the whole 17-game season. I think it's going to be a mixed bag, but I don't think it'll ever be as rock bottom or as low as we were last year in that beginning of the year where the offense couldn't even move the ball. I mean, the run game was always productive, but as far as a passing game, they could never get anything going under Anthony Lynn's play calling. And I just never see it getting to that point. But I think mixing in what we saw the last 5 weeks and then maybe a little lower than that, I think that's a more fair expectation. And then I think that's going to put fans in a pickle of like, is Goff the guy going forward, or should the Lions take the leap of faith and maybe try to upgrade that position?
We talked about that. We talked about that, man. I mean, we know he probably doesn't have a shot to come back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We'll see, man. We'll see how he plays this year. I don't think there's much of an excuse that we can say that,
No, there
okay,
isn't at all.
why is this offense not clicking? You know, I think everything is there. The offense should click. That there's no excuse. Unless, like I said, unless Jared Goff stinks it up.
It's not like you're bringing in a new play caller because you're not. You're bringing in Ben Johnson, who technically was not the offensive coordinator. Like he didn't have the title of the offensive coordinator, but I think towards the last five, six games of the season, like once Dan Campbell started to lean more towards him, I think he kind of took the offensive coordinator duties without being the technical title of an offensive coordinator. So like, it's not like you're seeing a new face at the position. Play caller, I know we don't really know necessarily who it is right now. It could be Dan Campbell. It could be Ben Johnson. We don't know the answer to that right now. But regardless, it's going to be a familiar voice. It's going to be a familiar scheme. And as far as the faces that they brought in, you brought back essentially everybody back that you had on that unit last year, and you upgraded. Like, yes, you brought in DJ Shark. Yes, you brought in Jameson Williams. Everything else is pretty much the same around that. So as far as familiarity, you have that. You have a very familiar offense. You have guys you're familiar with, especially in the back, the backfield, offensive line. And, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys end up clicking in year two, because we did see the connection towards the end of the season, even with a lot of injuries to the squad. You did see the connection with the offense getting a lot better. You saw a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown really emerge into the scene towards the end of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see what's in play for this team in year two of the Dan Campbell, Jared Goff kind of experiment.
Yeah. And now we talked a lot about the offense. Let's jump into the defensive side a little bit. I have a question about the defense. I want to know what's your thoughts on this defense, because I know last year we had, I would say, a terrific defensive coordinator in Aaron Glenn. And, you know, we use the excuse, you know, he was a great coordinator, but he didn't have the pieces to do much. Now we have somewhat of a pass rush. We have a lot of guys coming back off injuries. We got Jeff Okuda, who's looking to be a productive corner in the NFL. We still have all these guys at corner. What do you see with this defense? Do you think this defense will improve? Will this be the weak link of the team? Or do you think this will be, you know, a very balanced team? You think the offense will be good and the defense will be solid as well? What is your thoughts? Do you think the defense is going to hold this team back?
So I see where the optimism is with the Lions defense and just the Lions kind of going forward to the season. This is where I could see the team being a kind of sneaky team, especially in a weaker NFC conference. You have some really good teams in the NFC, like in the top heavy, but I think as far as the depth of the conference, I don't think it really competes with the AFC. Like, you look at people making playoff predictions, I think you could look at that 6-7 wildcard spot and you're probably like, okay, you could flip-flop those teams and maybe a team that you didn't expect to be there could be there. And I think that team, I'm not saying it's going to be them, but I could see it being the Lions, you know?
Say it, yes.
Yeah, like, I mean, we saw last year what Aaron Glenn did with, I think, a very less deprived, talented defensive unit. And I think you can make the argument that that defense in a lot of games, even though the statistics will not back it up, if you just look on the naked eye watching the games, watching every play, I think you can make the argument that the defense gave the Lions offense many opportunities to go win a game. Just look at week 3 versus Baltimore. The defense really held their ground. You look at that game versus Cincinnati, even though the scoreboard looks terrible, the first half, I think they held the Cincinnati Bengals to like 7 or 10 points in that game.
I think it was 6. I think it was something like ridiculous. I think it was like two field goals or something like that.
And you factor in that Jared Goff, I think, netted like 2 yards of average that first half. And like that offense, bad. Like they got nothing going. And yeah, they had some games like San Francisco where they gave a bunch of points. Or they had games like Philly where they gave up a lot of points. Those games are burnable. Like, you're not going back to those games. But I think you could look back at many games that in that year and look at the defense. They gave you a legitimate shot. A lot of games, they gave you a legitimate shot to win the game. And they didn't have the talent that you're really like, wow, like who's the guy on that Lions defense last year? There really wasn't nobody. Like, that's like, you're circling. Like, Pierre always says, who's a guy that's going to make you, not sleep overnight to kind of game plan for this guy? And I think as of last year, you didn't have a guy on defense. And I think right now you don't necessarily have that guy right now, but you have potential of guys that could do that. I mean, I think a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, you took at pick number 2, where a lot of people thought he is the best player in this draft, and you landed him at pick number 2. He could be that guy potentially. Now, that's a projection. We don't know that because he hasn't even taken a snap in the NFL. But Aaron Glenn had less on this Lions defense. And it kind of, again, like that Lions offense, you brought back a lot of these guys back, and you're getting another year with familiarity. And I think you have to also factor in, these guys are super young. Like, they could get better. Like, Levi Onwuzurike was kind of a non-factor his rookie season. I mean, he was a round 2 pick. He could be more of a factor this year. Aleem McNeil was really good in his rookie season. I mean, he could just get better. Derek Barnes was kind of an up-and-down rookie season. It's going to be interesting to see what his role on this team is. But other than that, like, you brought back the whole squad, and you added some more young faces. You added arguably the best defensive player in the draft. I think it's not going to be a top unit by any means, but I think they could hold their grounds and be, you know, not a, I wouldn't even say the word good, but maybe like, okay, solid. I think they could be that this year.
Great. I mean, so you think this defense could be solid? I mean, I think the same thing. I think the defense really could be solid. And what made me think that this defense could be solid is just how they played last year. You just look at the guys they had on the field at some plays. Seeing Will Harris at corner, that scared the hell out of me when I first saw that.
Yep.
Like I was like, when I saw 25 out there, I was like, wait a minute, why is he playing corner? But he played solid. It's like Aaron Glenn was able to grab guys and get the best out of those guys. So that's what I really liked to see from that defense, is that, you know, he was able to get the best out of those guys. So looking at this team right now, I think we're going to have a really good underrated team defensively. I think our front four, they're going to be able to put pressure on the quarterback. I know you're saying, you know, Aiden Hutchinson is a rookie and you don't want to put that much pressure on him. And no, Aiden Hutchinson is a second overall pick. He's going to come in and do what he needs to do. He needs to come in and do what he needs to do. He needs to come in and be an instant impact to the team. And that's why they drafted him at number two overall. And I think he will. You know, you mix him with Aaron Glenn, Aaron Glenn's going to get the best out of Aiden Hutchinson. You know, you saw him in college last year. You thought he was phenomenal. Aaron Glenn's going to take him to another level. I guarantee you Aaron Glenn is going to be able to tap his potential and take him to another level. And another guy we're getting back is Romeo Okorah. Romeo Okorah is going to come back, and he's going to be on the other side. So I think Romeo Okorah seeing more one-on-one opportunities is going to be a bigger impact than he was when he was being double-teamed damn near every play when he was on the Detroit Lions last year and the year before. I mean, last year he didn't really play too much because he got injured, but the year before, you know, prior, when he had his 10 sacks, he was getting double-teamed every damn near every play. But he's going to see more one-on-one opportunities. I think our front four, you know, we watched this in the past where we saw a Detroit Lions team and it, like the quarterbacks just had all day. I don't think that's going to be the case next year. If that happens, I'm going to be really disappointed because they did everything right, you know, in the offseason to fix that. And I just don't see that being an issue going forward. I think they're going to be able to put pressure. I mean, they don't have to necessarily even blitz that often because I think just with the front four, they can put pressure on the quarterback. And that's going to make the whole team better defensively. So, yeah, defensively, I think they can hang with the offense. And I think both units, I think, are going to be solid.
Yeah, I think the thing that's tough to project right now with this team is because it's easy to project right now when you got everyone on paper right now. But you got to always factor in. You mentioned that Romeo Okorah missed most of the season last year. Like, there's going to be an injury. And it happens every single team, and it's just how lucky or how unlucky are you as a team. And it seems like the Lions usually fall under the unlucky part of the scale, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think what would hurt the most is if, like, somebody like Aiden Hutchinson goes down.
Yeah.
That would suck. You know, I mean, I don't want to even put that out there. You know, my bad. You know, I don't want nobody to say, oh, Malcolm, you jinxed it if something happens to him. But that would be worst case scenario. I think we have guys that come in if Romeo Okorah is not ready or he's not playing to his level that he needs to play. We have guys that could play. Charles Harris played very at a high level last year. You know, he's one of the guys who Aaron Glenn was able to tap into his potential and get the best out of him. And, you know, you could just, you know, something happened to Romeo, or Romeo is not playing to his standard right now, or he's injured. You could put Charles Harris right there. And then Charles Harris would bring that instant production. So I think the depth on the front four as well is very good. It's very, very, very good.
And that's where you could be a little more optimistic, because, like, that's something you can never say with this Lions front, is that first, it wasn't really good in their starters. But second is, like, if one of these guys went down, there's really no hope at all of getting pressure. But like you mentioned, you brought in Aiden Hutchinson, you brought back Charles Harris, and you got to also factor in Brad Holmes used a second round pick on Josh Pascal this year too.
Oh, that's another guy.
That's just another edge rusher you're adding to the pile of guys that you have.
Yeah, and they think really highly of him. I think he could come in next year and have a very productive year. I don't think they're gonna baby or you know, put the training wheels on him and baby his way in. They're gonna play him. Who is it? Second round pick.
Second round pick. Yeah,
absolutely. They're gonna play him. He's going to get a lot of burn. He's going to get a lot of defensive plays, man. So I can see him being productive as well, man. That dude's a monster.
Yeah, so, like, you have multiple guys. And, yeah, Pascal's not like an Onyeka situation where, like, Onyeka is coming from an injury and you're kind of redshirting him. Like, Pascal, as of right now, is healthy right now, and he's ready to go. So if everything's projected, everything's good to go, coming to the regular season, like everything clears out through training camp and preseason, like there's, I don't see a reason why he's not having a role in this team. Not saying he's going to be a starter necessarily day one, but like having a role in this team, I think he definitely gets a good amount of snaps in games, especially early on in the season.
Yeah, man. I think the front four is the rock of this defense. They're going to get things rolling, man. I love what they did there. Love their picks, the guys who they brought back. They really did a really great job with that front four. They did something that, you know, we've been struggling to fix for the longest since Ndamukong Suh. And I think they got it right, man. If this doesn't work, man, damn near nothing's going to work. I mean, this is it. This is it. If this doesn't work, man, I mean, shit, just say that we're just never going to have a pressure or a front four.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it every single week. We're watching other games around the 4 o'clock Sunday night window, you know, primetime games that are Monday night, Thursday, whatever, right? We're always in our chat every single game. I feel like we're talking about, like, man, look at that team getting pressure on the quarterback. Why can't the Lions do that? Why can't the Lions be like that team? Just like getting to the quarterback instantly. Like, why can't we be that team? And hopefully, I think we saw a glimmer of hope of that last year a little bit. You hoping with adding a guy like Aiden Hutchinson that could really, really take that to the next level and really improve this pass rush.
Yeah. Now, we talked about the front four. What about our secondary? What do you think about Jeff Okuda, man? Do you think Jeff Okuda is going to come back this year and have a bounce back year and play his ass off and play like the number three overall pick?
Three.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. That's tough. Do you think he could play at that level?
I don't think he's ever going to be lived up to the expectation of the number three pick. Like, let's just throw that out the window right now. I don't think he'll ever live up to the expectation of being the number three pick. But could he be a guy that could be a productive starter? Could he be a solid player? I mean, why not? Why can't he be that player? He has all the intangibles. He has all the talent to be that guy. The thing with Jeff, I mean, his durability. I mean, what do I always say? What's your best ability? Is your availability? And frankly, Jeff Okuda the last 2 years has just not been available. And when he's been available, granted, in very, very bad situations. I mean, his rookie season was with Matt Patricia on an island on cover one, guarding guys like Davante Adams, guarding guys like DeAndre Hopkins. Very tough circumstances, especially for a rookie. And then last year, you're hoping to see what he could do with the new defense, a new play caller with Aaron Glenn. He gets hurt week one. He ruptures Achilles. So, I mean, Jeff Okuda just has not been available for this team. So it's really tough to project to, like, what are we going to see out of this year? Does he have the talent? Does he have all the intangibles to be a good corner in this league? Absolutely he does. But, I mean, if you're not on the field, you could be the best player in the world. I don't care. Like, you have to be available. And I know he can't control that. I know he can't control not getting hurt. But it's just, that's the business. If you can't stay healthy, I don't care how good of a player you are. I don't care how much talent you have. It's just, if you're not available, it's not important to me. So I want to see Jeff Okuda be available this year before I talk about what play we're going to see out of him. Because I think if he's available, I think he can be a good player. I really do. But I need to see Jeff Okuda be available this year.
Let me ask, when do they offer him his fifth year option? Is it next year they could decide if they want to give him the fifth year option or?
Yeah. This is his third year right now. And then next offseason, they're going to have to make the decision if they're going to want to pick up that fifth year option or not. And I don't think by any means or any stretch of the imagination, this is a slam dunk. Jeff Okuda is going to get his fifth year option pick up. By nowhere any means is that a slam dunk. I think it's a very wait and see. What is he going to do this year? Could he be available? Because I think if Okuda suffers another significant injury where he has to be out for a multiple of weeks, like, do you want to keep doing this? Do you want to keep running this back? Like, at that point, it just might be time to just, you know, cut ties and look for a new option and just let him get a new start somewhere else. Wow. and just start somewhere else. I think that would be very fair. I mean, he has to be available, man.
That's crazy because I was going to ask you that. I was going to say if Jeff Okuda comes in next year and, you know, after like week three, he tears his ACL, it's out for the season, will he be back in the following year?
I think absolutely.
And you say no. Wow. I mean,
well, he'll be back for year four, but I don't think they'd pick up his option.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I think this team has options. And that's the thing that's kind of really not playing Jeff Okuda's favor. They have guys that can start. Jerry Jacobs, you know, a guy who was undrafted last year and came in and played at a high level when his number was called. Jerry Jacobs, and he's coming off injury as well. But when he was on the field, he played his ass off. You know, he was a guy who we thought Jeff Okuda could come in and play like when he came in.
Yeah.
So Jerry Jacobs out there. Then we got Ify.
Yep.
Ifeanyi Malafonu. You know, he's another guy who they drafted. This is their guy who they drafted. And they drafted him in the future so he could start in the future. And he's there. So if something does happen to Jeff and one of those guys come in and they play at a high level, yeah, Jeff is out. I don't see him in even on the team next year, especially those guys come in and play at a high level.
Yeah.
No, he could be out the door.
It's very possible. Yeah, maybe look for a trade or – I mean, if he suffers another injury, like a significant injury, like what even is his value at that point in the league? I mean, the guy would have played, you know, how many games in 3 years, right? Like how many games has he played right now in 2 years? Like six, seven games, maybe a little more?
Maybe. Maybe that's a good number, I would say.
Let me check maybe. Right now. I'm just curious. Like I don't think he's played 10 games, right?
I mean, you're looking probably at, you know, people will get pissed, but this point he's probably going to be worth, if he gets injured next year, he's probably going to be worth a fourth or a fifth round pick.
That's even generous, honestly. If three injuries.
And his production that he played, yeah,
he's played exactly 10 games.
Yeah, 10 games. It's tough, man. I got to see. You got to see what he does next year. But yeah, if he gets injured early in his like season, I wouldn't be shocked they got a fifth for him. If they got anything less than that, I'd be like, oh, okay.
I think also with Okuda, take out the injuries, because like you can't project that, obviously. But take out the injuries. Like if we see what we saw week one of Jeff Okuda last year, granted it was only one game. And it was Debo Samuel, and he made him look absolutely silly. But if we see like that more constantly out of Okuda, because it's one thing to project the guy is going to be good, and then there's the second part, like we actually have to see it on the field. Frankly, we just haven't seen on the field with Okuda yet. There's not a game I can really look back and like, look at this Jeff Okuda game. Like that's the potential you're looking at right now. What we're looking off right now, what people are jizzing over right now, are training camp videos of him playing football at his local high school, probably. Doing training videos. That's what people are going off right now. Honestly,
man. You know what? And this is coming from a person who did not want Jeff. I mean, everybody that listens to this pod and they listen to it for a long time, they know Malcolm hasn't been the best Jeff Okuda fan on the planet. Okay, it's not anything about Jeff Okuda. It's just I knew when we drafted him, it was going to be a situation like this as far as like his production and how it's going to come in. But I'm going to say this though. You look at how, when he played his best football, he played his best football in college and he has college, but at Ohio State, they had probably the best defensive line in the nation. Okay. You know, they had Chase Young who was playing out of his mind and Jeff Okuda playing at a high level, you know, and I really do think if this defensive line plays well, they're playing like what I'm expecting them to play. I'm expecting them to play well. If they could play well, they could put pressure on the quarterback where Jeff Okuda's not just chasing guys all around the field and doing all that, and he could just have to just jump routes. The corner's going to play better. I mean, look at San Francisco. You look at San Francisco 49ers. Who are their corners? Who are those guys? Your boy from Michigan?
Ambry. Ambry, yeah. Thomas.
Ambry Thomas, fourth round pick. It was a fourth round pick, right?
I think late third, yeah. Late third, early fourth, something like that.
I mean, they're playing with nobody. But with all that pressure, I'm telling you, because I played corner. When you play corner, your front four to be able to put pressure, you're not doing much chasing. All you're doing is jumping routes. You can jump those hitch routes. You jump those routes, and you're going to play better. You're going to be able to make plays. So I think this will be Jeff Okuda's best chance. If their front four is playing at a high level, Jeff Okuda could play well. And also, you got to factor in his health. He has to be on the field to play well. So it's all depending on his health and the front four. The front four could get pressure on the quarterback. I think this could be a bounce back year for Jeff Okuda.
Absolutely. No, I definitely agree with that. Like I'm not counting out Jeff. I'm just saying what we've seen out of Jeff, there has been nothing right now. There just hasn't
so
been
far,
anything.
Yeah, so far it has been nothing because I mean you're factoring in him having to chase guys all around the damn field. And,
yeah, no, and I told you terrible situation in 2020, and then he played week one, which I mean that was week one. It was Debo's not even that. It was just Debo Samuel. It was week one of, you know, a new regime. So like that's not really fair to criticize him, but you know, he just wasn't on the field for the rest of the season to see what he could do throughout the season. I thought last year has been a huge year, and I thought last year we could have saw those steps taken forward with Jeff. And I think you would have saw, like, what you saw to Jerry last year and Amani. And, like, you know, you saw corners play really well with this team last year. I think we would have saw that out of Jeff last year if he played. I really do. I don't think we would have saw many games like we did week one. I think we would have saw a much improved Dakota, but we didn't get that opportunity because he got hurt. So now we're, you know, flipping the book, and it's this year now is that opportunity. But Jeff has to earn it, dude. I mean, now that there is more competition, like you mentioned, those guys, once he was out, they kind of took that opportunity. There wasn't like – we weren't really like, oh, we miss Jeff Okuda right now. Like, I didn't say at any point during last year, oh, I miss Jeff Okuda right now. Like, it sucked for him, obviously.
Why the hell would you?
I'm not trying to be rude. I'm saying, like, but, like, those guys played really well. Jerry played really well. Ifeatu Melifonwu in limited time played really well. So there wasn't, like, a time where, like, wow, I miss Jeff. So Jeff is not just coming in here and going to be the savior right now. He has to kind of go back to his rookie season and square one. Like, you have to earn the starting spot right now. Like, I don't think it's a given that he's going to get that. The only guy that earned that spot, in my opinion, is Imani Oruwariye. He's the only guy in that cornerback room who's earned a starting spot. Other than that, it's an open competition at nickel. It's an open competition on the other outside corner spot. And I think that's something that it's going to be really fascinating to watch during training camp in the preseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. But the thing is, I'm going to say this, man. There's no reason why Jeff Okuda can't play well. I mean, if they could put Will Harris at corner and have him play like a damn near corner, there's no reason why Jeff Okuda cannot go out there, play at a high level. And I just want to bring up another guy who we haven't mentioned at corner who is going to be another competition for Jeff Okuda, and that's Mike Hughes. Mike Hughes last year he played really well. He played really well with Kansas City. So he's going to be another guy they're going to be looking at that could be out there and could steal that job. So he's definitely going to have to earn it, definitely. So that's why I think he could play at a high level, is because it's not given to him. He's going to have to beat out guys.
No, I agree. I'm not trying to dog on Okuda. I really not. I think he could be a good player. I think the talent's there. I think talent wise, he could be like a really, really good corner for this team. And, like, you know, you could even make the argument, like, just going off pure athletics and stuff like that, like, he has maybe the best stuff in the cornerback room, potentially maybe behind Amani, I would say. Like, I think he has really, like, I think he'd be really, really good as far as a player. He just has to be available for this team. And I think if he is available, again, it's a projection, but I think he could be a guy that we're looking forward to, and we can look at a very nice 1-2 combo with Okuda and Amani potentially if the Lions can get that deal with Amani done this year.
I was just about to bring it up, man. Amani Oruwariye, man. He is – I love his play. He is a playmaker, man. Like, that interception he had against the Cardinals was probably amazing. One of the best interceptions I've seen from a DB – in Detroit, probably since Glover Quinn, the sliding interception he had in Tampa.
I have a question for you, Malcolm.
What's up?
You mentioned all these young corners that we have. You mentioned guys like Jerry. You mentioned guys like Melifonwu and Okuda too, obviously. And Amani is on a contract year right now. Is it in your best interest that the Lions like have to get a deal done with Amani, or like they have to extend this guy, or is it we're going to have Amani this year and we're going to maybe hope on some of these young guys could potentially take over the helm of being the starting corners? Or is it like we have to get Amani's deal done this year?
This is a very, very, very tough question, man. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I really believe unless he plays out of his mind and probably gets like a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro, I think they're going to move on from him because his market value, his market is going to be really high. I think he could probably get a big contract. And actually, he has 6 interceptions. Let's say next year he gets 7 interceptions. You know, he's going to – his market, the market is going to be high for him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you want to pay Amani Oruwariye top corner dollar to keep him on the roster?
That's tough. Be 27 years old too.
He'll be 27?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind that. You give him a 3-year deal, but that's if he's playing out of his mind, you know? That's the only way I really think they'll do it. But like, say if he has the same season like last year, he has 6 interceptions. I still think the market for him is going to be too high for Detroit, because I think he could still command top dollar. 6 interceptions, back to back years.
Yeah.
It's tough, man. Especially they have guys that could play that role. I don't know, man. I think they, unfortunately, Amari's my guy, man. Amani Awori's my guy. You know,
Yeah, it's tough
I think
because
they do move on from him, though.
it is tough because, like you mentioned, it's like you could get by with okay corners or even like mediocre corners if you have the pass rush. Because I think that's the most important thing, obviously, in a defense. We talk about this all the time. The most important of a defense to get it going is getting that front four right. And if the Lions can maybe use more resources to that front seven rather than using the resources to the back seven, and you could still get maybe not as good a production as Amani, but you could get good, you could still get solid production. You can get good production and still improve the team in general. I could see that as well. I could see the Lions potentially moving on off a guy like Amani. He goes in the open market, gets a contract somewhere else, and the Lions roll with the guys. And I think that's fine. I don't know if we necessarily have a guy that will be as good as Amani has been for this team, because I mean, Amani has been so impressive. I mean, he's dealt with not a good front four in his career in Detroit, and it's just never been an excuse for this guy. Like, he's been good in every situation he's been asked for. And I guess you asked the question, like, why do you get rid of a guy like that? It's just, if you can get good production out of your DBs because your front four is applying pressure, and you could use that money towards other resources, like maybe towards a future quarterback potentially, or maybe towards that offensive line, or towards the receiving core, or whatever, right? Or even towards that defense, whatever, right? Like, you could use that money somewhere else. Maybe that's more useful than having a really good corner. It's a tough topic because Amani's been so good for this team, man.
Yeah, they didn't draft Ifeanyi Malafonu in the third round for no reason. I'm gonna tell you that now. They didn't draft him for no reason. They kind of predicted this situation happening, that a situation where they could move on from Amani if things don't play well, or maybe even Jeff. But I just don't, unless he has a phenomenal year. He's playing like, all right, you're putting Amani Awori in the top 10 cornerback conversation. If you could put Amani Awori in the top 10 cornerback conversation next year, I think he could force Detroit to say, look, man, I played at a high level, pay me.
Could it go the other way around? And Brad Holmes, maybe the Lions are not, performing, like maybe they're not going to be a playoff team, or like, they're kind of far away from the race, whatever. Maybe Brad Holmes does a little retooling, takes advantage of that to a team that needs a corner, gets a high pick for Amani potentially.
That's the question. That's if things, shit hits the fan and things are not going well by trade deadline. Yeah, something like that could definitely happen. You could probably get a third for Amani at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you got a third and a fifth for Slay. Granted, that was in the off season.
And Slay was what, 29 at that time?
And Slay was 29 at that point. Yeah, and it's same situation, was due for an extension, and the Lions obviously just didn't give it to him.
Yeah, it's just, we just have guys, man. So it's not going to be that much of a hurt if we lose Amani. But like I said, if he's playing top 10, shoot, I mean, I don't think we could let him. Would you want them to move on from Amani if he's playing at a top 10 level?
So I want to see the other guys first. Like, I want to be more sold on Jerry Jacobs. Like, yes, he was really good, but I want to see more of that, right? If I could see that, and I could see Okuda being a starter, if I could see Ife being a starter, if I have three guys that I'm confident that could be starters, and I see what Aaron Glenn could do with essentially any corner and get like solid production, like, I'm sorry, like, you could move off of him, even though I love the guy so much, and you could use that money towards something else, use their resources to another position of need, because AG is getting talent out of corners that we're not even expecting to get talent with not even a great front four. So if we're getting solid production still, why pay a guy? Because we could just keep going through the farm, keep getting guys, let AG develop them, let those guys get paid eventually, and we don't have to be the team to pay them, honestly. You could do what San Francisco's doing. San Francisco doesn't pay corners. They don't pay
No,
corners.
they do not.
And they're
They do not.
fine.
I think the most they paid was Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the most.
Yeah. Like, they don't pay corners. I mean, a lot of teams don't pay corners. I mean, even look at Cincinnati. I think this guy is so valuable to their defense. Jesse Bates, they franchise tagged him. They still haven't got the extension done yet. They still haven't got the extension done yet.
I mean, I want to see how they handle that. And with Amani, if they did let him walk, they'll get a comp pick for him if he plays well.
Yeah. So, no, yeah, you would, I think, at the very least, get a comp pick for him if, you know, you if you rolled with it throughout the season and he hits the open market and you just don't sign him. Yeah, I think you get a comp pick for Amani.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's not too bad. Now, going on to safeties, you know, we have Tracy Walker. Who do you see starting on the opposite side? Is it Deshaun Elliott or is it going to be the rookie, Kirby Joseph?
I think to go into the season, if both guys are healthy, I would expect Deshaun Elliott to be the day one starter to go along Tracy. I think Tracy obviously is a lock. They extended him this offseason. And I think as of right now, I'm expecting Deshaun Elliott. But I think that's where training camp and preseason really comes to play because I want to see what Kirby could do on the field. I really do want to see what he could do on the field. And could he make it interesting? Could he make this a real legitimate competition where he forces the situation of Dan Campbell to maybe potentially start him day one? I don't think we'll get there. I think they're going to want to kind of just sit back, let him develop a little bit, get him in some limited snaps in the early point of the season, and then hopefully look at Kirby's a long-term piece because, I mean, Deshaun Elliott's only on a one-year deal. You extended Tracy for 3 years, so you got him. You know he's going to be part of that safety unit for a while. And then after that, I think the hope is that Kirby could be that guy long-term. But I think going into the season, I think there's a reason why they brought Deshaun Elliott. And I think there's going to be a nice – healthy competition going into the year, but I think ultimately I think we'll expect Elliott to be that guy.
Yeah. You know, I've been away from Twitter for a while, but I did catch Deshaun's Elliott tweet. I did catch his tweet, and he seems highly motivated about, you know, being in Detroit and having something to prove. So I do think he could be one of those sneaky guys that have a really solid year. For some reason, I have a feeling Kirby Joseph, I don't know why I feel like he's going to be redshirted. Not really redshirted, but very limited. Very, very, very limited. Like, he's going to be a guy, for some reason, I do have a feeling that he could be a guy that we look at it, like, at the snap count at the end of every game. We're like, man, how come Kirby Joseph not getting enough snaps? And I think it's going to be a situation like that where they're kind of, like, slowly easing him in. I don't know why I get that feeling, man. I think it's just because I think Deshaun Elliott is going to play really well. I mean, maybe they do some packages where they put out three safeties. I don't know.
But I mean, I think even to mention too that they plan to play iffy at safety this year too, alongside corner. Like they plan to use him at some safety too this year. So I don't even know if Kirby's the next guy in the depth chart. Like if someone were to even go down.
Wait, iffy. So hey, that's something that's like locked in. I knew he was getting snaps there. Like let's cross train him. But I didn't know that this is something they were planning to do like during game. Like.
We'll see definitely during training camp and preseason. We're going to see if he gets some run at safety.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to have a better idea in preseason. If you see him like in the second unit or third unit, like, wait, what the hell? What is if he's playing safety at the third unit, then we can have, okay. All right, now we see what they're doing.
I think we could because we have so many guys at corner. I mean, you mentioned, I know not a long-term piece, but Mike Hughes is here now. You got Okuda, you got Amani. Jerry might be back for camp. You still have AJ Parker. He's a nickel. Who else do they have at corner? Is that it?
They drafted Chase Lucas.
Yeah, they got Chase Lucas. Yeah.
Round seven, they drafted him?
It was like that was their last pick of the draft. So, like, yeah, I don't really put too much stock into that. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to get some run, too.
You said Mark Gilbert already?
Yeah, Gilbert. Like, you know, they have guys, and I can't think on top of my head, but I'm assuming they signed some UDFAs, too. And obviously, we saw last year, granted, a lot less talent, but AJ and Jerry got a lot of snaps early on in you know, those preseason training camp games. So, you know, they have a lot of guys at corner, so they might, you know, want to explore iffy at safety a little more because the safety depth on this team is not really good. I mean, you got your guys, I think, Walker and Elliott, but after that, it's, you know, Kirby Joseph, then you got, like, C.J. Moore, who's more of a special teams guy, in my opinion. Then you got a guy like Brady Breeze, who's, I think, more of a special teams guy, too. They brought in Juju Hughes from L.A., and that's really about it. So I think we can expect to see a decent amount of work out of Iffy in that safety spot this camp and preseason.
That'll be interesting, man. I can't wait.
It's going to be interesting to see, like, just the whole dynamic and how they line up this whole thing because I think we have a lot of questions on who are going to be the starters. I think, like, we know as far as in the front four, like, I'm expecting it to be Hutchinson and Aquara, your edges, and then up the middle, McNeil's going to be somewhere with
probably Brockers or Onderike. It's going to be a mixed bag of those guys. I think linebacker is an interesting question too. Like, I expect Alexander Deloney to start. I think they brought him back for a reason. I think after that, it's going to be interesting. Who's going to be the guy alongside with him? Is it going to be a guy like Derek Barnes? It's going to be the guy they brought from Baltimore, Chris Board. They drafted Malcolm Rodriguez in the sixth round from Oklahoma State. They still have a guy like Anthony Pittman who's like, he's kind of been up and down for this team. Josh Woods was a guy that got some decent start time before his injury. So it's going to be interesting to see who's going to start alongside Anzalone. And then we just talked, you know, extensively about this cornerback room, who's going to be the guys out there and, you know, how they're going to work this all out. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they line up all these guys, especially defensively.
Yeah. I really like this defense. I like what they did. I like all the pieces they brought in, bringing some guys back. I like what they did. And I think this could be a really sneaky good unit, man.
Yeah, it's not sexy. It's not sexy by any means. Like, it's not your top defense in the NFL, but it has potential to be really good. Something I really like about this defense, it's really young. It's really, really young. And I think especially in the front four and the secondary, you got a lot of young guys where I think they're going to develop together. They're just going to be a nice young team together. And it might not all click together, you know, day one or even year one. But I think slowly but surely throughout the season, we're going to see these guys get better as a unit. And I think that's when it really comes into the good defense in the NFL. And I think that's where they could take that next step. Maybe not this year, but, you know, maybe next year. And that's where they could come a really, really good defense, you know. I think they could be solid right now. Just they got a lot of young pieces, a lot of potential. But I think with the youth on this defense, they could grow up together and become a really good unit.
Yep. I agree, man. So just to recap this whole episode that we did so far. I mean, the shocker that you mentioned earlier for the people who just came in, the Detroit Lions have the highest paid offense in the NFL. That was news broken by Tyler earlier. That was the shock of the episode. And we talked about some offense, talked about some defense, man. Shoot, you got anything else, man?
That's all I get. I mean, we've been live for a little
an hour.
Yeah, man. An hour.
We did it.
That was good stuff.
Just some barbershop talk, man. We did it.
I mean, I don't think we've like really broke down the Lions team in like, you know, in like that. Like, we've talked about it, obviously, but like, you know, we kind of just broke it down, some things to expect. I think that was good. I like that.
Yeah, man. Me too, man. So, yeah, we're at the hour mark.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
do you want to wrap this up? Or
That works for me. I think we did a good job doing this. Good job,
hey,
Malcolm.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. And, you know, this is crazy because this wasn't even the plan. This was not the plan. We just been in for an hour, and we are going to wrap it up. I know we put open mics, and, you know, I know some guys had some things to say. You know what? Next Wednesday, we promise you. Well, no, I won't be here next. Next Wednesday. All right, yo, Tyler, can you and Pierre run next Wednesday?
I could. I'll ask Pierre, but yeah, we should be good. We should be
all right. So next Wednesday, okay, we're going to get y'all questions, okay? We promise we're going to have y'all up here, and we'll go through our questions with the listeners, and we'll be able to, you know, just chat it up, you know? This was not the plan. We were planning on doing that today, but once me and Tyler just started talking about football, an hour later, we're like, oh, wow, we've been here for an hour.
It's been a minute, guys. It's been a minute since we just talked football. We kind of needed this right now. It was unexpected, but we needed it.
yeah man so I apologies, but yeah, we're gonna wrap this show up.
Okay. All right, well, hope you guys all enjoyed this little talk of us just breaking down the team, breaking down some competition to expect as we await training camp, which we are only now I think 2 or 3.5 weeks away. We're getting really close to training camp, and like Malcolm said, Hard Knocks coming up, so definitely excited and looking forward to that. But for now, that is all that we got. If you guys couldn't listen to the whole thing, don't worry. We will be posting this on our feed, so look forward to that if you couldn't listen live to all of it. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and I am out. Peace.